I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you motherfuckers.
Politics. Politics. Humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Fart Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name is Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio Show 93. I got half a voice, so hey, I figure if we throw a double party, it'll all even out. I tell you, it's been rough the last 30 days. But now I'm back, I'm ready to go. Matter of fact, there's so much to say. What I did, I got a whole stack of stuff. It's like 70 pieces that I circled in the newspaper and stuff that I was going to talk about. I got through like 5 pages, and the time had run out. On one hand, that's bad. On the other hand, it's good. It makes me think someday we might just go live. You know, someday we might just get me a stack of stuff and just flip up the microphone and just go live, see what happens. I mean, you'd have to grant me a whole lot of leeway as far as mistakes and saying dumb things and forgetting where I was in the sentence and all that kind of stuff, because a whole lot gets cut out. But, hey, as time goes by, we're going to have to get better. But here we are, show 93, and I still got no business being on the radio, but I got a voice, so what the hell? Before we can do anything, got to start off with that shot of Chinaco. Oh, nice, nice, nice. Happy Cinco de Mayo, kids. Big party, let's go.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Say it again, y'all.
Okay, this next bit is going to involve some alcohol, because I don't care where you are, I don't care what day it is, it's Cinco de Mayo at Casa de Bart. Actually, it's May something, it's about the middle of May, and I've been sick since the middle of April. Nothing serious, it's got nothing to do with the mad cow, this is just some, I had some throat thing. Seems like once a year I get a little throat thing. But I haven't had any illness since I had the big illness, you know what I mean? So this is kind of a first for me. Since I've been sick, this is the first time I've been sick. And it's been 30 days. Doctor said it's got nothing to do with the mad cow, but then they don't have any idea what it could be, what it might be. But I'm starting to come out of it. It's only been like 32, 33, 34 days now. So, yeah, I think it died of attrition. I think the germ just got tired of fighting and just said, fuck it, and gave up. So, seeing how it's Cinco de Mayo, I'm going to be doing the occasional shot as I go through the list of stories. I hope you don't mind. We're going to start off with kind of an also-ran. It's considered a big dog by a lot of the top players. The Herradura Anejo, or as Tommy Mac likes to say, the Anejo or something. He's got that little funny. Anyway, going to give it a shot. Here we go. Can't beat that. Well, you can, but that's really nice. It's 100% blue agave. Kind of plain. Don't know if it's because it's that's, don't know if it's because that's the first shot of the day, or it might have been. I was chewing on some dentine, cool vanilla, sugarless ice gum something a while ago. So maybe I should have cleansed the palate before I got it. But it's never wrong to have a drink of tequila. Okay, that was number one, the Herradura Anejo. Now let's get to some news. Picked up a newspaper from a few days ago, and I saw, looks like 5 or 6 things on one page, and I figured it was the good Lord calling out to me, so let's take a look at this page. Story number one, this is a U.S. Whore Today, Wednesday the 17th. Warmth sets record for month of April. Last month was the nation's Warmest April on record, the National Climate, said Tuesday. The average temperature in the 48 contiguous was 4.5 degrees above average, and the highest since data collection began in 1895. The hottest April in history. And still, the sons of bitches say they don't have enough evidence on the global warming. Well, maybe if it was 140 for the whole month, would that be sufficient evidence, you sons of bitches? My God. The record of 56 degrees follows a marked, marked warming trend both in the USA and globally. World temperatures last year tied for second warmest on record. But no, the evidence isn't in. Long-term trend is toward warmer temperatures, so it's not surprising to see records set, said Jay Lorimore, monitoring branch chief at the data center. Although Alaska was almost 1 degree cooler than average last month, 19 other states had averages that ranked among their five warmest Aprils ever. Climate scientists with the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, no wonder they call you guys NOAA. That's a damn long name. Those dudes estimate the U.S.'s residential energy demand in April is 12% less than expected because of the warmer temperatures. Aha! It's a plot by the oil companies. If they make the planet so hot, we won't need any oil. Wait, that's the opposite. Don't they understand? If they would quit jacking with the greenhouse and the ozone, then it would stay cool and we'd have to buy more oil. What's wrong with them? They don't get that. Okay, that's one story, and that one story wore me out because I'm not 100% well yet. So that means I'm going to have to do another little shot before we go on the next story. Is our good old friend, the Chinaco Añejo. You got to have... See, now, the only way to drink tequila, well, the best way to do it is the way I'm doing it right now, because you got to get a whole bunch of... I got a lot of tequila in the house. Some of these are a year old. One of these bottles is from September when I went to see my good friend in Vegas. He bought me that very expensive 30 anniversary Chinaco. This is not it. But anyway, got some of these bottles. I got one bottle that's still left in the old car lot. So, yeah, we got bottles of tequila around the house. And we generally only drag them out, well, on big occasions. Cinco de Mayo, can't hardly beat that for a tequila drinking excuse. Anyway, little shot of the Chinaco. Oh, the mouth just floods with flavors. I can taste it all. The papaya, the wildflowers, the baked apple, the mongoose. It's all there. Boy, it tastes good, too. Chinaco Añejo. You know what we're going to try to do? Me and my manager, Jim, Chicago Jim, talked about this. Matter of fact, if you ever need to reach Jim, he's at jim@barkup.com. I'll bet you can remember that. But we're trying to put a thing together for some Chinaco barkup.com shot glasses. We're going to try to put a little promotional thing together, a little fundraiser together, so maybe you can own an official barkup.com Chinaco shot glass. And Jim said, well, will the Chinaco people mind if you use their name? And I'll say, hey, not only are we going to use their name, we're going to get that little dude on the whatever. He's got a sword in his hand. He's got a hat. Wait, start over. There's a dude on a horse. He's got a hat and a sword in his hand. And he's ready to go in a, I don't know, tequila battle. Oh, here, I got it right here. I'm sorry, you people that don't like a bunch of tequila talk. We'll try to get through this fast. Every time you buy a bottle of Chinaco, you get a little booklet. Let me see if I can read the booklet. Damn, the light's not too good in the studio. Oh, hell, I can't read it. But anyway, somehow the bad guy showed up and the good guy stopped him, and that's why they call it Chinaco. Okay. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to print up a bunch of these ChinacoBarkup.com shot glasses. And Jim said, well, what if the Chinaco people complain? I'm going to say, hey, Chinaco people, here's what you do. Go to your Google. Punch in Chinaco Añejo. See what comes up. You know what I mean? If there are 1,000 references to Chinaco on the internet, 995 are you know where. So if they want to give me some trouble about me usurping, hey, no, I put you dudes on the map. Nobody ever heard of Chinaco before barkup.com. Well, somebody had because they had enough to sell it and bottle it. But trust me, I put Chinaco on the internet. They should send me free cases. I should be doing this gratis. I mean, they should be sending me gratis or whatever the phrase is. I don't get any gratis, so I'm not familiar with the terms, but yeah, they should be kind, no Bart. Okay, here goes another story. Judge dismisses World Trade Center memorial lawsuit. I'm not even going to read it. It's just one of those. This is on the Nation Line section of the U.S. Whore Today. All I need to see is a headline because I just don't care. I think it is absurd, the idea that we need to spend a couple of billion dollars to remember 9/11. Hey, I'm not going to forget it. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe it's my keen-ass sharp mind of 64, my little IQ there. But somehow the idea of 9/11 has still not gone out of my head. I still remember it. So the idea that we're going to build a memorial to remember it, well, that's stupidity. And the idea that, 1,000 families and 100 companies and 200 politicians all going to get in a giant room and do battle to see what the proper way to... Why don't all you people go to hell? How about you build an office building where the World Trade Center... Yeah, there you go. That's an idea. Why don't you call it the New York office building and just build a big building there? And I saw a thing in the paper the other day. There's some steps. Some dude ran down some steps, and the steps are still there. And they interviewed this guy. He said, oh, yeah, you know, I heard the whole building shook, and I ran down the steps, and I was surprised. You know, I came back a month later, and those steps are still there. And I think we should save the steps as a memorial. Hey, fine. You know, that doesn't cost a penny. That was part of history. You're not going to have to build a $2 billion thing to commemorate something that we can never effing forget anyway. So that seemed to make more sense to me. Put a little memorial up there, maybe a little corner of a corner of a block. But the idea, let's build a 25-mile-tall monument to 9/11 so every hand job in the world that ever grabs an airplane, they've got a target they can't miss if they try. The World Trade Centers were pretty hard to miss, being how it's the tallest building on the Western Hemisphere. But no, we're going to outdo that. We're going to build one 10 times taller so you can see it from Atlanta. You can hijack a plane in Atlanta or Chicago or Denver and see the damn building and aim for it. There's no reason, and it's not a matter of defeat, but why are we wanting to taunt these people? Hey, you knocked down our 100-story building, but you can't knock down a 150-story building. Nah, 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 you can't knock it down. That's what we need. When 9/11 happened, there was maybe 500 people in the world that was willing to kill themselves to give America a black eye. Now there's, 500,000 on a bad Thursday that are willing to do this? George W. Bush, that's what they're going to do. In these hand job countries, they're going to build a memorial to George Bush, the greatest recruiter that they ever had at Al-Qaeda. Okay, here we go. Story number three. Oh, next little tequila we're going to get into, some Don Eduardo Añejo. Don Eduardo. We had a tequila tasting party in Vail, Colorado in December, and this was voted least likely. Boy, it's damn hardest to open, I'll tell you that. They went to price for that. Jesus Christ, who you got to know? You watch. I'm going to spill it all the hell over myself. Oh, now they're pissing me off. It's tasking me. Come on. Ooh. I would make a remark about prom night, but it might not be appropriate. Bit of a bite. They might have had a point back in Vail. But hey, 100% agave, Añejo, aged in the barrels. See, once you get the pure agave, that's like your basic starting stuff. Then the art is what you do with it. You put it in the oak barrels. You got to have the right barrel, got to have the right size, got to have the right temperature. Then you put the stuff in there, the wildflowers, the mangoes, the baked apples, the mongoose. You put all that in there, and then you got to seal it up real tight and put it in, a dark basement. And then as the years or months or whatever, sometimes some of them are aged a year, some 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever. That's the whole thing. That 30-year Chinaco anniversary stuff, that 300 a bottle, it's aged 6 years or 8 years or something like that. Mas fina. A little Latin lingo for you there. Okay, back to the story. Gay marriage ban struck down in Georgia. Gay marriage ban struck down in Georgia. Isn't that a song? But, you know, I got a radical idea. Here's where all the gay people are going to cancel their subscriptions. But I just have an idea. Pretty soon, I don't know if they're going to do it. I guess they do it every year, I mean every election year, about 90 days before the election, they start screaming, oh my God, two men kissing. Oh my God, two men kissing. Can the country survive? And the Democrats rightly stand up and say, excuse me, we're fighting a war against terrorism. We got 2,500 dead soldiers. The economy's gone to hell. Everything's screwed. We got the bird flu coming. We got all this going on, and your top priority is two men kissing. And, oh, my God, two men kissing. Oh, my God. And it's a big thing. Just makes you wonder one time, what if we said, okay. Okay, big, big ban on men kissing. We agree. Oh, what would they do? What would they do? They would have to come up with something else to scare the stupid people with. Maybe just one time we ought to call their bluff. See, we're never going to get power until we say, okay, okay, on the gays, you know, because people are so incredibly effing stupid. They think that if a Democrat wins, that homosexuality is going to be mandatory, that you're going to have to blow a guy every day before you start work. And nobody wants to blow a guy every day before they start work, so they get scared because Republicans guarantee them you're going to be blowing pipe if a Democrat wins. And, oh, no, I don't want to blow pipe. And so we'd lose. So it'd just be interesting. One time if we said, okay, 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 no gay marriage for the foreseeable future, and then we'd take power, and then we'd run through the gay marriage. Yeah, yeah, that's a ticket. But no, no, we'd rather fight before the election and lose. That way we can be in. See, the gays are not going to get their marriage, whatever thing, until we take power. Can we agree on that? So just seems like our choices are we can keep losing elections and the gays are going to keep losing their marriage thing. Or we can say, okay, 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 one time, we agree with you. Oh, men kissing. Worse than Al-Qaeda, worse than not having a job, worse than not having health care, worse than everything you could ever think of. I'd rather have 12 or 15 of my sons die in Iraq for no goddamn reason than for a man to kiss another man behind closed doors on a house they co-own. Oh, my God. Take all my children, please, but don't let two men kiss. That's what this comes down to, because America is stupid. What's Bart's Law number one? Voters want to be lied to. People are stupid. They want to be lied to. They want to be told everything's going to be fine, even if it's not. They want to be told there's a God in heaven sitting on a cloud that's just waiting for him. And when you die and go to heaven, he's going to tell you where your dog went when you were a child. And he's going to tell you what happened to that bike that got stolen. He's going to tell you which of your good friends stole that bike. And he's going to give you a list of all the people your wife cheated with you on. And, oh, all the mysteries are all the big cloud and the angels and the harps and the halos and this. Yeah. That's what's going to happen, but that's what people want to hear, so that's what we tell them. Bart's Law number one, people want to be lied to. We got to win an election. They're scaring them with them gays. Oh, like I said, I've lost about 40 subscribers since I started this rant, but don't you understand, you 40, hopefully you'll finish listening to this before you unsubscribe. You're never going to get what you want until we take power. I wasn't very politically aware back like in the 60s, but there has to be a parallel here. The Negro can never get civil rights until the Democrats have the power to do that. If Eisenhower and whatever Goldwater and whoever else was in charge, we can assume there would still be no civil rights for blacks, but because the Democrats got in office, they were able to do that. Now, like I say, in the mid-60s, I don't know how all that worked. Elect Johnson and that nigger lover. See, now the black man's going to come sleep with your daughter. See, I'm sure it was the same way, or maybe they're more sophisticated, unquote, now. But I'm sure back, if Karl Rove had been alive in the 60s, if you vote for Johnson or if you vote for Kennedy, black man's going to sleep with your daughter. Mandatory Negroes in your daughter's bed if the Democrat wins. You know, the same thing we got now. If gay people are allowed to sign a marriage contract, then you have to blow a guy every day before you start work. Thank you, Karl Rove. Thank you for bringing some honesty and intelligence to the political discussion, you bastard.
How's it looking?
Not good, Denny.
Oh.
Aside from the case at hand, we've got your rather
colorful history of shooting people. There was the man in the office last year.
He took you hostage.
Paintball incident.
He threw a rock at me.
Your own client.
In the knee.
It simply won't be a big leap for a jury to think you'd happily plug your therapist.
No. It's different this time. I shot a human being, a real human being.
The others weren't.
Well, the two were criminals and the other was homeless, but Sidney is real. He pays taxes, he lives, he breathes, he's a Republican. We're just so desensitized to guns. I don't like to admit this. I laughed when I heard that the vice president mistook his friend for a bird. I actually laughed.
You were the only one.
But to see it for real, I still can't shake the image of Sidney going down. I never thought I'd say this, but I can't bring myself to so much as look at a gun.
Denny?
The way he fell, I thought he was dead. Gone. Now I'm gone.
It's not over yet, Denny.
Alan, to help me God, if you ever catch me looking at a gun again,
but this one, the secretary just couldn't let go.
You know, that charge is frequently leveled against the president for one reason or another, and it is so wrong and so unfair and so destructive of a free system where people need to trust each other and government.
In truth, Rumsfeld never said Iraq's oil would pay for the war, but his then-deputy, Paul Wolfowitz, did say it would pay for the aftermath.
We're dealing with a country that can really finance its own reconstruction and relatively soon.
I think this is from ABC News, and as always, they're doing everything they can to protect that lying son of a bitch in the White House. The least they could do is play the entire Wolfowitz clip, which is a little more explanatory.
The oil revenues of that country could bring between $50 and $100 billion over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. We're dealing with a country that can really finance its own reconstruction and relatively soon.
$100 billion, Wolfowitz says. And remember, that's using Saddam's technology. When Halliburton got in there and refitted everything, new pumps, new pipes, trust me, they doubled the capacity. That $100 billion went to $200 billion in a heartbeat. But, oh, they don't have any money. No. They're all broke. They can't figure out where that money might have gone. And ABC Horror News is helping them.
Hecklers, like the one who stood with his back to the secretary during the speech, couldn't rattle a man with Rumsfeld's steel.
Rumsfeld's steel? Well, why don't you just blow the guy right there on the camera? Oh, Rumsfeld, he's such a man of steel. He's super Rumsfeld. Da-da-da, da-da-da. He's super duper Rumsfeld, the man of steel. Go, ABC News. Give us just the facts. You're not on the team or nothing, no.
But in an extraordinary piece of public theater, Ray McGovern, who claimed to be a former CIA analyst.
Here we go, ABC Horror News. This man stood up and claimed to be a CIA analyst. Now, hey, asshole, he was on the air 28 years. 28 years, hello? Oh, a man with a claim stood up. No, assholes, that's what you should have said for Paula Jones. That was a woman with a claim. This man's got 28 years as an analyst with CIA. Oh, and he's just a man with a claim. Jesus Christ, how did you get your job?
Took Rumsfeld on mano a mano over pre-war claims Iraq had weapons of mass destruction.
You said you knew where they were.
I did not. I said I knew where suspect sites were, and we were just...
You said you knew where they were, near Tikrit, near Baghdad, and north, east, south, and west of there. Those are your words.
My words were that... No. Wait a minute. Let him stay 1 second. Just a second.
This is America, huh?
And in America, we fact-checked, and we found that in an appearance on ABC's This Week 3 years ago, Rumsfeld did say those words.
We know where they are. They're in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad and east, west, south, and north somewhat.
With what appeared to be the facts on his side, McGovern kept going, an exchange that lasted a full 2 minutes and 35 seconds.
I'd just like an honest answer.
I'm giving it to you.
We're talking about lies, and your allegation that there was bulletproof evidence of ties between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. Was that a lie, or were you misled?
Hold on. Did Rumsfeld ever say bulletproof? According to the New York Times, he did, September 27, 2002, in Atlanta. And a month later, he admitted saying it. But a year after that, he told the National Press Club, bulletproof? Not me.
You said about a year ago that there was bulletproof evidence that of links between Saddam Hussein and the September 11th attacks. When will the American public see that sort of evidence?
I did not say that.
Okay. September 27th.
And whoever said I said it is wrong.
But back to the action in Atlanta.
Well, no, wait. I think we ought to spend a few more minutes about this lying son of a bitch being caught. Why are you trying to glaze over this, ABC News? What's wrong with you? Why can't we have the facts? Why is it the job of ABC News to hide the facts to help this crooked administration get away with their invasion? This is wrong. What is wrong with the networks? The networks are part of the government. They are a wing of the White House. I thought the people owned the airwaves, but no. Apparently Bush owns that too, just like he owns the oil in Iraq.
Zarqawi was in Baghdad during the pre-war period. That is a fact.
Rami? Thou art a lying bastard. If you had told us before the war that we have to sacrifice 2,500 soldiers because Zarqawi, who no one had ever heard of at the time, was in northern Iraq, well, who gives a fuck? 2,500 soldiers? 2,500 families destroyed because you think maybe Zarqawi might have been in northern Iraq? Who cares? Zarqawi was powerless until you guys gave him 2,000 tons of C4. He was powerless until you guys put him on the map.
Zarqawi, he was in the north of Iraq in a place where Saddam Hussein had no rule.
He was also in Baghdad.
Yeah, when he needed to go to the hospital. Come on, these people aren't idiots. Yes. They know the story.
You are... Let me give you an example. It's easy for you to make a charge, but why do you think that the men and women in uniform, every day when they came out of Kuwait and went into Iraq... put on chemical weapon protective suits.
Jesus Christ, Rumsfeld, are you that bad of a debater? You're trying to tell us the reasons that the soldiers put on suits is because they personally saw the CIA's evidence? You think each soldier went over the spy satellites and went over all these secret documents that we still can't see? The full Senate can't see them? But somehow every individual soldier knew? Jesus Christ, the only reason they put on those suits is because you told them to. If you tell the guy there's poison gas around the next hill, yeah, they're going to put on the suits. They don't know poison gas is around the damn next hill. That's what you told them. That's what you're being accused of now.
Because they liked the style? They honestly believed that there were chemical weapons?
Yeah, because you guaranteed it. You said, we know where they are. They're north, south, east, and west of Tikrit and around Baghdad. We know where they are. It's a slam dunk. We've got the bulletproof evidence, so we've got to go in before the mushroom cloud gets here. Don't act after the fact like it didn't happen. You got caught. They got tape of you lying, Rumsfeld. Now you're saying it didn't happen. Only in America, only where you don't have a free press, can you get away with this.
That's what we call a non sequitur. It doesn't matter what the troops believe. It matters what you believe.
I think, Mr. Secretary, the debate is over. We have other questions, courtesy to the audience.
And with that, they declared an end to the face-off.
Some of the most popular items on CNN.com right now. One of the most popular items in the Situation Room, Jack Cafferty. He's on right now as well. Jack?
Yeah. We got a lot of mail today. Everybody's pretty steamed at the government for a whole bunch of different reasons.
Hey, Jack, they're not upset with the government. They're upset with the idiot monkey that's running the government. Don't do his work for him. Don't protect him. Why don't you mind your own business and tell us about the news and stop protecting Bush? People aren't mad at Bush. They're not mad at the government. That's what Republicans always say. The government has gone crazy. No, it's not the government. It's Bush. Stop protecting him. Just tell the truth, Jack. That's all we're asking.
Senate leaders say they've reached a deal on an immigration bill that would give millions of illegal aliens a chance to become citizens. That's called amnesty. The question is, what should the compromise be between the Senate and House versions of the immigration reform bill? The House passed a bill saying that it's a felony to be in this country illegally. Neither one of them had to pass any bills. We have laws on the books that apply to illegal immigration. We just choose to ignore them in this country. Here's the email. Georgia and Florida, no compromise, no amnesty, no talk until the border is secure. Stephen Phoenix, no one's talking about enforcement until the punishments for employers are harsh. The flow of illegal aliens will continue. When there's a mandatory 6-month jail term for those employing illegal aliens, things might change. Bernie in Huntington Beach, California, here's the compromise the voters can exercise in November. Vote against any U.S. senator who votes in favor of the Senate's immigration bill. That's the amnesty bill. Vote for any member of Congress who votes in favor of the House's immigration bill. Amnesty, no. Border security, see. K, they should quit this phony debate and enforce the laws on the books. All of them are cowards. They're afraid to do anything right. Fernando in Richardson, Texas, they don't need a compromise. The Democrats need to walk out of Congress and not return until they have a majority. Congress is broken, and this Congress steals every time they meet. And Helen in Lunenburg, Massachusetts, compromise immigration reform bill. Both sides of Congress should agree to go home and never come back. I like that idea.
When you say we got a lot of mail, give our viewers a sense of what that means.
It's in the thousands. It's in the thousands.
And you think most of those people are angry at the federal government.
Well, if you are such a whore, I don't guess that's ever going to change. But no, they're not mad at the federal government. The federal government doesn't take action. The White House doesn't take action. Washington doesn't take action. It's all Bush. Just say it. They're mad at Bush. You can do it, Wolf. I know you. Well, I think you can. If you can pull Bush's you-know-what out of your mouth long enough to speak clearly.
They're mad about the spy and stuff that's going on, and they're mad about trying to, you know, create amnesty for 12 to 20 illegal immigrants in this country so big business can hire them at cheap chump wages.